The energy landscape is changing before our eyes. With rising oil and gas prices, alternative fuel options are looking more attractive. But is your portfolio keeping up? At Global X ETFs, our approach to investing in renewables looks beyond what you might have considered. Visit globalxetfs.com to learn how you can invest in the rise of clean energy.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, October 7th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. All this week, the Nobel Committee has been announcing this year's winners of its highly prestigious awards. The Nobel Prize in Physics went to three scientists for their work in quantum computing. According to the Nobel Committee, their collective work laid the foundation for a, quote, new era of quantum technology that enables super-fast computers that can handle complex problems and secure quantum encrypted communications. On today's show, our science reporter Eric Kneeler joins us to explain their research and how it's reshaping the future of computing. That's after these headlines. The judge overseeing the trial between Twitter and Elon Musk over his deal to acquire the social media company has agreed to postpone the trial while the two sides continue their renewed deal talks. In the surprise ruling, the judge gave the parties until October 28th to reach an agreement. If they don't, the judge said they should contact her to schedule a new trial date in November. Talks between the two sides restarted earlier this week as the trial and scheduled deposition of Musk approached. A person familiar with the matter says Musk is asking for the $44 billion deal to be contingent on him securing the necessary debt financing to pay for it. The talks follow an earlier effort by Musk to get Twitter to agree to a lower price. We report exclusively that efforts by TikTok parent ByteDance to continue growing are costing it. The Chinese tech giant saw its operating losses more than triple last year, to above $7 billion, according to a financial report shared with employees. But the report also showed ByteDance produced an operating profit in the first quarter of this year. Our social media reporter Salvador Rodriguez says while that may be a sign that the business could be turning a corner, the report indicates the company is still investing in its growth.
The revenue is quite eye-catching, but ByteDance isn't slowing down or prioritizing turning a profit just yet. However, these figures only come up to the end of March, so we don't know how the company has fared through the past 6 months amid all the macroeconomic downturns resulting from inflation as well as other big events like the fallout of the war in Ukraine. Through that period, rivals Meta and Snap have really been affected, so it's curious how ByteDance is doing.
A ByteDance spokesperson declined to comment. And more cuts at Peloton. The maker of connected fitness equipment says it's cutting around 500 jobs, its fourth round of layoffs this year. CEO Barry McCarthy says the unprofitable company has about six more months to turn things around, or else it isn't likely that it can remain a standalone company. Peloton has about half the staff it did at its peak last year, following a boom in sales during the pandemic lockdowns. Since then, it's struggled to maintain demand and keep costs low. Okay, coming up, the scientists who untangled the principles of quantum entanglement take home the Nobel Prize. How is their research from decades ago shaping the future of computing? We'll discuss after the break.
This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, no. It's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
This week, the Nobel Prize in Physics was awarded to three scientists, Alea Speer, John Clauser, and Anton Zeilinger, for their work on quantum physics, and particularly for helping lay the foundations for quantum computing. Unlike the bits that power traditional computers, quantum computers use quantum bits, or qubits, to run algorithms. That makes them faster and more efficient, and that's something businesses and governments really want. Joining us to explain the Nobel winners' discoveries and where they're taking the world of computing is our science reporter, Eric Kneeler. Hi, Eric. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, although maybe a little bit confused with this topic. In the simplest of terms, can you kind of describe to us why these scientists won?
Sure. These scientists did some experiments decades ago that really opened the door to something called quantum computing. Quantum computing promises to solve all sorts of complex problems that existing supercomputers really can't handle. That could include the folding of proteins and molecules that can be used to discover new drugs. That could be understanding how the Earth's climate is changing and all the variables and temperature and weather and so forth that influence that. It could also mean maximizing shipping routes for hundreds of tankers across the world.
Describe to me this concept of entanglement, because it seems to be pretty critical to what we're understanding here.
So this is when two or more of these subatomic particles sort of share a destiny. So whatever influences one happens to the other, and vice versa. You know, Albert Einstein referred to this phenomenon famously as something called spooky action at a distance, because the entanglement ties the states of these particles together even when they're separated by great distances. So what these scientists did was really understand something in the fundamental concepts of entanglement and how it works and what these mysterious interactions, what influences them and what makes them happen.
Why does that matter for making computers work faster?
So understanding entanglement has helped scientists today better able to sort of manipulate, control, and work with these subatomic particles to transmit information, to run algorithms, for example, much more efficiently than supercomputers that are using this strings of ones and zeros and bits.
There's also this opportunity for quantum encryption and also for using the concept of entanglement to help with secure communications. How would that work?
One of the things with qubits is that from a cybersecurity perspective, if a hacker tries to observe them in transit in their super fragile quantum state, it collapses. And so the hacker can't really tamper with these qubits without leaving behind a telltale sign of their activity. So some companies have already taken advantage of this property to create new networks for transmitting sensitive data based on something called quantum key distribution. So this is still an emerging field, but the promise of quantum communication, secure transmission of data, has really been opened the door by these experiments that were done decades ago by these three scientists.
How far along is the development of quantum computing? I mean, when might we expect this to be just part of our world?
Right. IBM does have a quantum computer. They are running some applications on it. One of the things is, in addition to just technical issues of computation and so forth, it requires a lot of energy to keep that processor so cold. I spoke with someone at IBM, and they are working with clients such as Boeing and Exxon to help them with their data needs, to look at large patterns of data that can help them. So there are some applications being run. It's not ready for prime time. What Jerry Chow, an IBM fellow and director of quantum infrastructure at IBM, told me, said that we're not at the point where quantum computing provides a real business advantage, but they're trying to unlock value over time. So it's still on the horizon, but there's a lot of promise, and there's actually quite a bit of money going into quantum computing right now.
All right, that was our science reporter, Eric Kneeler. Thanks for joining us, Eric.
You're welcome. Great to be with you.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. Our supervising producer is Chris Sinsley. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
Buyside from the Wall Street Journal is a new website dedicated to helping readers make smart decisions about how to spend their time and money. For picks that are reviewed, rated, and ready to click, go to wsj.com/buyside.